Today, I'm standing in the middle of the field here in the Polo Grounds in New York City. I'm looking out over a vast sea of faces as thousands have gathered for this historic meeting. Once again, we have heard one of the songs that we sang every night at Madison Square Garden, "To God Be the Glory." Once again, the great choir of thousands has sung, "How Great Thou Art." In a few minutes, after my main message of the day, once again, for the last time in the New York City Crusade, the invitation will be given. And we, by faith, believe that hundreds again will respond to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Also, once again, I would like to take this opportunity on behalf of the Executive Committee and our thousands of co-laborers here this afternoon to thank you for your prayers. It was the prayers of thousands of people all over the world that made this great crusade possible. We came to New York City a few months ago in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. The Apostle Paul, writing later to the Corinthians after a visit there, said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Even the greatest skeptics here in New York must confess that there have been elements here that they cannot understand psychologically or from a secular point of view. While here in New York, we were determined not to know anything among them save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And night after night, as we unfolded the mystery of the gospel which God had ordained before the world, we were conscious of the working of the Spirit of God. Never before in history had so many people prayed for one specific event. God answered that prayer, and today another chapter closes in this historic crusade with all the glory, praise, and honor going to God. This has been His doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. However, another chapter of this crusade is opening. Scores of ministers have written describing the spirit of revival in their own churches. Thousands of new converts have written to tell of their experiences in serving and following Christ. Bible classes are springing up spontaneously in every borough of New York. Many ministers have written to tell of the revival in their own personal ministry and how that for the first time they're preaching a simple gospel. If someone had told us a few months ago what would happen in this city in so short a time, we could not have believed it. There are a number of things that the New York Crusade has either re-emphasized or taught us afresh that I would like to share with you today. First, we've learned again the power of prayer. I think when we get to heaven, the thing that will amaze us the most was our prayerlessness. Our Lord talked about prayer almost as much as any other subject. He said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." This is exactly what happened in New York. The people began to ask, seek, and knock. Thousands of answers to prayer flooded the city at the same time. We had organized prayer in 109 countries of the world. Several thousand daily prayer meetings had been organized in New York City. While mistakes might have been made in the New York City crusade, yet God overruled them in answer to a mighty avalanche of prayer. No organization is perfect, and mistakes will be made by even the greatest saints. But no matter how frail and faulty we may be, God will answer sincere prayer motivated by a desire to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times during the New York Crusade we held on to Isaiah 65:24 that says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." And as God has answered prayer for New York, so I believe God will answer prayer for any community in America. If you want to see a spirit of revival in your church, in your community, get a few people praying, and God begins to move when people pray. No great revival has ever come to any part of the world or to any community unless there was great effectual praying. Secondly, we learned again in New York that God honors faith. Jesus said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." This executive committee in New York City, by faith, took Madison Square Garden for 4 months in the hot summertime. The skeptics sneered and laughed. They said it could not be done, but God did it. He had promised, "According to your faith, be it unto you." There were many times a year ago when it seemed that the crusade could not be held. There were so many overwhelming problems. But how many times we held on to the promise of Psalm 37:5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." How many times I walked to the top of the mountain where I live and stood for hours at a time calling upon God and exercising what little faith I had in believing that New York City could be touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hundreds of ministers in this city stood by faith with us. God has honored that faith. I am convinced that one of the greatest needs in the church today is more faith in what can be accomplished by the Holy Spirit. In your community, in your church, if you want to see a spirit of revival, then believe God for great things, because I am convinced that God honors faith. Thirdly, we've seen again the authority and power of the Scriptures. Night after night, I simply expounded, explained, exhorted, and preached the Word of God. I used very little of my own logic or reasoning. I told the comparatively few illustrations. I just preached the Word of God. The other associate evangelist with me did the same thing, and we found that the Scripture became a rapier in our hands. The Bible says that God's Word is a devouring flame. Jeremiah 5:14 says, "Wherefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them." Again, the Bible says that the word is a hammer. In Jeremiah 23:29, the Bible says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" The Bible calls the Word of God the sword of the Spirit. I found it to be a sword for offensive warfare. It was thrust into hundreds of hard and skeptical hearts, and God used it nightly to transform even the most wicked sinner. The Bible says, "The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I think often in our teaching, preaching, and witnessing, we use the actual Word of God too little. This is the source of our power. I found almost a spell comes over an audience when the Scriptures are quoted and expounded. It is the hush brought by the Holy Spirit to listen to His Word. He has not promised to use my logic, but He has promised to use His Word. If you ministers want to see a transformation take place in your own ministry, start preaching the Bible. Start quoting the Bible. If you Christians who are Sunday school teachers and leaders in your own churches would start memorizing passages of Scripture and quoting them, you'll find a new power in your own life and certainly in your witnessing and teaching. Fourthly, we've learned again the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord promised, "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." It is the Holy Spirit that convicts men of sin. It is the Holy Spirit that regenerates. It is the Holy Spirit that is the great follow-up agent to help these newborn babes grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is one point that I find newspaper men often stumble over in these crusades. They just cannot understand the mysterious operation of the Holy Spirit. They try to explain the crusade in psychological language and find it impossible. It is difficult for them to accept the fact that the great supernatural element here is the work of the Holy Spirit. Anyone coming to Madison Square Garden was conscious that it was charged with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Many men who were prone to criticize came away from the garden with tears coming down their cheeks, praising God and saying, "This is the Lord's doing." Others would say, "I do not understand all the methods, nor do I pretend to understand every aspect of this crusade, but one thing I know, God is there." When I give an invitation for people to come forward and receive Christ, I'm not calling them to myself. I'm calling them to the cross of Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that woos them and brings them and draws them. It is the Holy Spirit that transforms their lives by regeneration when they come in repentance and faith to the cross of Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody was walking down the street one day, and a friend pointed out a drunk man and said, "Mr. Moody, there is one of your converts." Mr. Moody said, "Well, he looks like one of my converts. He's certainly not the Lord's." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not in the business of converting people. The conversion takes place when the Holy Spirit operates upon the soul. And as thousands of people here in New York City have been transformed by the Holy Spirit, so you today, listening to this broadcast, can have your life changed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that is a supernatural operation. I cannot convert you. I cannot help you. But if by faith you will come to the cross and receive Christ, the Holy Spirit can change you just as He has changed thousands of people here in this city. Fifthly, we've seen once again the power of Christ to change lives. As Christ healed the blind, the deaf, and the dumb 2,000 years ago, so he can still heal confused, bewildered, perplexed, and mixed up souls. I saw him take teenagers who were little short of gangsters and transform them into glowing, radiant Christians. I saw him take drunkards and sober them up immediately and change them until they've lost all taste for alcohol. I saw him take sex perverts that were considered hopeless cases and take away all lust and give them peace and quietness of soul. I saw him take ambitious socialites and show people and take away their self-centeredness until only Christ was exalted in their lives. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ has been moving along the streets of New York, quietly changing lives in every part of the city. Hundreds of these new converts have already become soul winners. It has become a chain reaction. We are now beginning to meet scores of new Christians that have been won to Christ in the last 2 or 3 weeks by people who were converted at Madison Square Garden a few months ago. Jack Wertson, the director of the Word of Life Fellowship, Brant Reed, the director of High BA, and scores of pastors of all denominations are filled with countless stories of individual lives that have been transformed by the power of the gospel during the New York Crusade. They're all rejoicing and thanking God for what He has done. Sixthly, we've become conscious once again that the harvest is ripe in America. Our Lord warned, "Work, for the night is coming." He again said, "The harvest is ripe." Certainly the harvest in America is ripe and the night is rapidly approaching. We may not have this great reception to the gospel that we are now seeing in this country very much longer. This is God's hour. Every Christian in America should give all he can, pray as long and as hard as possible, and surrender himself body and soul. The night is coming. The harvest is ripe. Never before in the history of this country have we seen such a move of the Spirit of God when it seems to be so easy to get men engaged in conversation about Jesus Christ. World events have brought men face to face with the real issues of life and death. This is the moment for the Christian to witness. This is the moment for the Christian to become a soul winner. But the harvest is also ripe in another aspect. The Spirit of God is moving in America, and if you are ever to be converted, if you are ever to receive Jesus Christ, if your life is to ever be changed, now is the time. You may never have another moment like this to give your life to Christ. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible warns against the danger of hardening your heart. The tide has moved in. You cannot come to Christ unless the Spirit draw you. The Spirit of God is drawing in America right now. You give your life to Christ while the tide is in, because when the tide moves out, it will be very difficult for you to come to Jesus Christ. You say, "But what do I have to do?" All right. Repent of your sins. Acknowledge that you've sinned. Be willing to turn from your sins. Then by faith, turn to the cross of Christ and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And in that act of receiving, the Holy Spirit will come into your heart and start you in a new direction, and you can become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit will sweep across America as He has been sweeping through New York. And we pray that many here and there, in communities and cities and villages in the nation, will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior in this harvest time in America. For we ask it in His name. Amen.